This week we have a double parsha of Vayakel Pekudei. The parsha of Vayakel begins that Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the har. It was Matzah Yom HaKippurim, Macharasa Yom HaKippurim, Rashi says. He brings down the Luchei Shnias, and the first thing that he commands Klal Yisrael is about Shabbos. And he says a pasuk in the midst of this tzivoy of Shabbos, Loi sevaru esh b'chol meshveisechem b'yem haShabbos, that a person should not light a fire in any of his dwellings on Shabbos. That was the one lav that he singled out, Havara. There's a machlekes in the Gemara exactly why that is. Why would he single out Havara? There are lamites malachas. Why Havara of all things? And the Gemara has a machlekes about whether it was Havara lelav yatzis or lechalik yatzis, different halachic ramifications of singling out this one malacha of lighting a fire. What I wanted to speak about today was a few different lessons that we could take from this one malacha and this one mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us through Moshe Rabbeinu of not lighting a fire on Shabbos. There are so many lessons from every word in the Torah, and we're going to discuss a few from this very pasuk. The Karoim were a sect of Jews who took the Torah literally. They said everything that the Torah says. We don't know about the rabbis and how they interpret the Torah. All we know is this is God's Torah, and whatever he writes in it, we're going to take it very literally. They thought they were being very firm about it, but of course they distorted the Torah as the way that we understand the Torah through the eyes of Chazal. If you just read the Torah literally, it makes no sense, the Torah. They would put, let's say, tefillin between their eyes because it says, Vayilu taitofes b'neinecha. And we know that it doesn't mean that, but if you take it literally, you'll put your tefillin between your eyes and you're not going to get the mitzvah. So one of the major things that the Karaites, the Karoim, did was they read this pasuk of Lois Sevaro Esh, and they said, oh, Hashem doesn't want any fires in our house on Shabbos. They interpreted the word Sevaru means that there should be no fires burning in your house. Not that you shouldn't actually light a fire on Shabbos, but that there should not be fires burning in your house at all. It should be completely dark in your house. It should be cold in the house. There should be no warm food in your house. And that's the way Hashem must want us to keep Shabbos. So, the Karoim, of course, made a terrible mistake. And in fact, that's why we have many minhagim that we do on Shabbos, like the major one is that we eat hot foods on Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to eat a food that's made hot. So, for example, that's where the minig to eat cholent developed. And there's many different types of cholents that are made throughout the world. There's Sfardi cholents. Yekkes have a different type of cholent. But everybody, B'chol Tfutz Yisrael, eats hot foods on Shabbos. The Ramah says that if you don't have hot food on Shabbos, you have to be chayshid. Maybe the person is a min. Maybe he's an apikaris, because maybe he's taking this pasuk literally, and he's saying, like Sevarish b'chol meshveseich me'em haShabbos. So that's how they understood this pasuk. And I want to say that I have two rayas in this pasuk itself that the Karam were wrong. It's as if the Rabbeinu Shleilam said in this pasuk that don't misunderstand what I'm telling you. When I'm saying Leisivaru Esh B'chol Meshveseichem B'yem HaShabbos, that is not to be taken literally like the Karoim. Don't sit in a dark house without fire on. You should have fire on. It just you can't light the fire. How is that merumez in this pasuk? So first of all, it says in the pasuk, Leisivaru Esh B'chol Meshveseichem, in all of your dwellings and all of your habitats. What does that mean? Why does the Torah have to say? Just say Leisavareish b'yem haShabbos. What is b'chol meshveseichem? And what I thought of is that we find a similar idea of B'chol Meshvei Seichem elsewhere in the Torah and Sefer Shemais and Parshas Bai, where it says that the entire Egyptian, the Goyim in Egypt, they had Cheshech, they had the Makkah of Cheshech, but Ulechol B'nei Yisrael Haya Arba Meshvei Sam. All of the Jews in their dwellings, they had light. They had light. The rest of Egypt was pitch dark. You couldn't move, you couldn't get up, you couldn't sit. Everyone was stuck in this thick darkness. But the Jews had Ar B'chal Meshveisam. And I was thinking maybe that's what the Pasuk is saying over here. Don't sit in darkness. Don't be like the Karaim that say that you should sit in darkness. Ulechol B'nei Yisrael Haya Ar B'Meshveisam. Jewish people, they always have light. Where there's a Meshav of B'nei Yisrael, where there is a place to dwell, to be, you have to have light there. Ulechol B'nei Yisrael Haya Ar B'Meshveisam. And that's what I think the Torah is saying. Your Meshav should be a place of light. It should be bright. It should be beautiful. It should be illuminated. It's Shabbos. You can't light a candle on Shabbos. You can't light a new flame. That's a malacha. But in terms of the actual atmosphere, the avira in your home, it's B'chol Meshvei Seichem. There you should have light in your house. It should not be dark. It should not be Cheshech Mitzrayim. It should not be a Makkah of Cheshech in your house. It should be beautiful. It should be bright. Another remez is that Tivaru Esh B'chol Meshvei Seichem is Safei Tevis. If you take the last letters of those four words, Tivaru is a Vav, Esh is a Shin, B'chol is a lamed, and Meshvei Seichem is a mem that spells out shalom. This is the Chasam Sefer's simen. And I think that the pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Tivaru esh b'chol Meshvei Seichem. You should have a light burning in your home. Why? For shalom. Because why do we have a mitzvah of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos? The Gemara in Shabbos says by the Sugya of Hanukkah, it says that the reason why you should have a light in your house, why you're Madlik Neiris of Shabbos, is because of Shalom Bayis. Rashi says over there in the Sugya on Chaf Gimel that there is an inyan to be able to have lights in your house because Shebnei Beisai Mitztarin Leshe Bachayshach. When you're sitting in darkness, it's a tzar. Who wants to sit in a dark room on Shabbos? It's, you know, sometimes the lights go out too early. The Shabbos clock goes, you know, triggers the lights to shut. And you're sitting in a dark room on Shabbos. It's not nice. It's not geschmack. It's not shalom. People aren't at peace. People don't feel happy to be in a dark room on Shabbos. Elsewhere, Rashi says a different reason in Masechta Shabbos, that you'll come to trip over things and get angry. So the Torah is saying in this very pasuk, yeah, you're not allowed to light a fire, but don't think that the karoim who take it literally are in any way correct. Fakert. You have to light you have to make sure that there is candles burning in your house, that there's Shabbos candles, there's other lights around the house. Tevaru esh b'chol meshvei seichem. There should be lights in your house because of shalom. Because in order to make sure that there's shalom, that there's peace in your house, you need to have the light's burning, and don't think that there should be darkness in your house. That's the opposite of shalom. I want to share with you another very important yisayid that we take from this pasuk. Listen to this balaturim. The balaturim says on this pasuk two things. There's two balaturims. They seem to be unconnected, but I think that there is a very big connection. The first Balaturim says, Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ur Shali, my light, Pirish Gehenim, I have fires by me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those fires we call Gehenim. Shoybeis Bishvilchem, they stop burning for you. Meaning on Shabbos we know that the fires of Gehenim, they're turned off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns them off. They only start again on Matzei Shabbos. That's why it's not always a good idea to rush out of Shabbos. One more reason not to, because the sooner that you rush out of Shabbos, the sooner the fires of Gehenim begin. So, but on Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, I turned off my personal fires on Shabbos. Gam Shar Shalachem Yehei Shaves. Therefore, your fire should also rest, meaning you should also not have fire burning in your house on Shabbos. Meaning, that's the reason behind this pasuk, it seems. Don't burn a fire on your house on Shabbos. I turned off my fires of Gehenim on Shabbos, and therefore you should likewise turn off your fires on Shabbos. That's the first palaturim. This palaturim is very strange. What in the world does turning off fires of Gehenim have to do with my turning off fires in my house? What does that have to do with it? The second balaturim is that the end of this pasuk is B'yayim HaShabbos. That's the last word of this pasuk. And then the first word of the next pasuk is Vayomer. Says the balaturim that if you take the four letters that bookmark these two words, HaShabbos starts with a hey and ends with a tough. And then Vayomer starts with a vav and ends with a resh. Those four letters spell out, if you jumble them, Tyra. Why? What's the remez of Tyra? She'ikar ha-Tyra b'Shabbos kisha'odam panoy me'asakov. Because the main Tyra is on Shabbos. The main Tyra that a person learns takes place on Shabbos. When a person is panoy me'asakov, when a person doesn't have the responsibilities of parnasa that he has during the week, he's not busy with college work, he's not busy running on a train and being busy day and night with his tzarchei parnasa, Shabbos there's no excuses. Shabbos there's nothing else that you could do. There's no phones and there's no computers and there's no cars and there's no trains. Everything stops on Shabbos. Why? Because it's a time for Kedusha, it's a time to eat, to drink, to sleep, but it's also primarily a time for Tyra. It's a time that you're supposed to sit and learn Tyra. And in fact, it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch that Talmidei Chachamim who learn the whole week, they're able to have more Menucha on Shabbos. They can rest a little more because they had a hard week with Tyra. But a Balabayas who's been working the whole week, he has to now sit and learn on Shabbos. That's his responsibility because now you have time on Shabbos to learn. In fact, there's a Vilna Gaon that I've seen say that there is an importance of learning on Shabbos if you don't learn that much during the week. And by doing so, what you're basically showing is that had I had the ability to learn a whole week, I would. I'm busy with Parnas. I'm allowed to be busy with Parnas. The Torah allows that. But when you stop doing everything, what do you do then? So if on Shabbos you're sitting and learning, you're basically showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I would have learned the whole week, but I couldn't, but now I'm showing that I can. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if you learned the entire week from Sunday to Friday. But if let's say on Shabbos you just chill the whole Shabbos, and you're reading the New York Times, and you're schmoozing about Stam things, so then you're basically showing Kadosh Baruch Hu, okay, that's what I would have done the whole week also had I not been working. So Shabbos is a day that's really supposed to be earmarked for learning. And that's the remez in this pasuk that HaShabbos Vayomer, that Shabbos starts with HaShabbos is a hey and a resh, and a hay and a tough, and Vayomer is a vav and a resh, spells out Tyra, a remez that you're supposed to learn Tyra on Shabbos. And I ask a second question on the Balaturim, that why is this? It's a beautiful remez, but there's been many places in the Tyra speaking already about Shabbos. From Shabbos Bereshis, in Kisisa we had many references to Shabbos. Why all of a sudden, in the Aseres HaDibros, why all of a sudden are you waking up here in Parshas Vayakel in a pasuk that's talking about what? a pasuk that's talking about leisavaru esh b'chamash veisechem b'yom haShabbos, don't light a fire in your house on Shabbos, and now you're telling me, be careful that you should learn on Shabbos, learn Torah on Shabbos. What does it have to do with about being maver esh on Shabbos? Two questions that we have. What does that have to do with Torah? And also, what does it have to do that I'm not learning Torah, and therefore, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu shuts down his Gehenna, we have to not light a fire on Shabbos. Be very careful not to light a fire on Shabbos. So here's what I was thinking to say. B'derech Drush. There was a very great Gaon. His name was Reb David Friedman of Karlin. They called him Reb David Karliner, because he was from the city of Karlin. And he was a tremendous Eloi. Everybody speaks about his genius in Torah. Tremendous Talmud Chacham, tremendous Eloi. He loved nothing more than to sit and learn. If you look in great Jewish photographs, I think the second spread in the book is a picture, a beautiful picture of David Karliner sitting over a sefer and just like spacing out, like looking into Never Never Land and just like thinking and learning. A photographer took this picture of him. It's a beautiful picture. And the photographer testified that the window was open where Reb David Karliner was sitting and learning. And he took a picture of Reb David Karliner like right in front of his face. Like, you know, he wasn't like off to the side. And Reb David Karliner was so in his world of learning and so entranced in that beautiful, warm world of Torah that he didn't even notice that his picture was being taken. And this wasn't, by the way, in the times that a camera was, you know, a guy with a smartphone that presses a silent button. Then, you know, you had to get like a curtain over your head and like put a whole contraption up and whatever. It wasn't simple to take a picture in those days. For David Kalina, there must have been a tremendous hullabaloo to get that camera set up by the window, and he didn't even notice it. He's just like looking straight into the skies and just like in a different world, in a beautiful world. That picture, by the way, that photograph became a very famous image because in the olden days, they used to have what was called an ex libris stamp, which is like a stamp that if you'd have a lot of svarim, you would put, like today people have stamps they buy in Eretz Yisrael or whatever to stamp their svarim. In the olden days, they had like nice stickers, and real like scholars all had their custom-made stickers. So, you know, different. And you can order them with your name on it. And some people have huge collections of all these ex libris stickers for different scholars' books. So one of the most popular, if not maybe the most popular ex libris stamp that was used in maybe thousands, tens of thousands of svarim, was a picture that was like that was painted, that was drawn of Reb David Karliner. It's the same exact image sitting over his svarim with a candle. And under it, you have the name of the person, or you could fill in the name of the person whose library this book is from. But it became a very famous image. That's Reb David Karliner. And I put that image, by the way, in Great Jewish Photographs of that ex libris stamp, if you'd like to buy it at better Jewish bookstores. Anyway, Reb David Karliner once said, to me, if you ask me my definition of Gehenim, everybody has their own like image of what Gehenna might look like. If you grew up with the Far Side comics, which probably nobody knows what that is, there was a constant picture of Gehenna of like a cave with fires and whatever. That's how a lot of people, I guess, picture Gehenna. Reb David Karliner says, if you want to know what I consider Gehenna, Gehenna to me is when on Friday night, I'm sitting by a Rashba, and I'm enjoying the Rashba so much, and I see a kasha that the Rashba asks, and I'm thinking about it, and then I'm about to like delve into the teretz of the Rashba, and all of a sudden the candle that I was learning by goes out, and now the room becomes pitch black, and I'm not able to see what the Rashba answers, and I can't. And, you know, there's no street lights in those days. It was pitch black. It was Cheshach Mitzrayim. I wasn't. That to me is Gehenna. That's the definition in my mind of what Gehenna must be. to be able to not learn a tshuva of the Rashba, to not see a teretz of the Rashba when you're like mamish into learning on a Friday night, that's my definition of Gehenim. A similar story is told about Rav Shach. Rav Shach in Panovich, once on Shabbos morning after davening, calls over a Talmud and he says, you know what Gehenim is? Gehenim is when you're in the middle of thinking about a Rambam, a Shver Rambam, and then you have all of a sudden you remember that a possible Yisha from it is in a different Rambam, and you go to the shelf, you get your other Rambam, and the lights in the house are out. All of a sudden they shut. And you want to make sure, you want to look at the Rambam inside and see if it's Meduyuk, see if your Yishuv works out. And there's just like a little bulb on the ceiling that's like the only light in the apartment. And you're trying desperately to see what the Rambam says and you can't. That's my definition of Gehenim. This Talmud thought it was like very strange that, you know, suddenly Rav Shach would just like offer up his definition of Gehenim. And like as he was walking out of the Beis Medrash, this Talmud, he sees Rav Shach's grandson, who happened to live together with Rav Shach in his apartment. And he says, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva just told me a very strange thing. Your Zayda told me his definition of Gehenim with a Rambam Friday night. I don't know, you know, it's a strange thing for him to tell me. So the grandson smiles. And he says, you know, now I understand. He says, last night I was in bed almost asleep. And all of a sudden I hear like a banging on the table in the kitchen. Bang, bang, bang. He said, what's going on? Like, who's banging in the kitchen? And I turn over, I pretend to, then all of a sudden I hear it again. Bang, bang, bang. What's going on? Who's like... So I get up and I look through my bedroom door and I see my grandfather. Rav Shach was very short. Very, very short. He was like maybe, I don't know, 4'11", maybe 5 feet. And he says, I saw my grandfather standing on the kitchen table. The whole apartment was already dark. And there was a little light bulb, a little like incandescent bulb, way up on the ceiling. It was very, very dim in the room. That was the only source of light. And Rav Shach was standing with an open sefer, and he was jumping on the kitchen table to try to see with anything that he could, as much light as he was able to get from the light bulb above him. He was trying to chop anything that he could see in the Rambam by jumping up, getting closer to the light. And he says, I didn't really understand what he... I didn't want to interrupt him. I just went back to sleep. But now I understand. He was looking up this Rambam. He needed to see the Rambam to see whether or not his Yishuv makes sense. He needed to see the Lashon of the Rambam, but he couldn't. And that's why he told you that was Gehenim for him. Gehenim for him was, I need to learn Torah, and I can't see. And that was Reb David Karlina's definition of Gehenim. That was Reb Shach's definition on a Friday night when it's dark, and you can't see, and you want to learn, you can't. It's so hard to resist, but it's Shabbos. That's Gehenim. Maybe we could say that that's the pshat in these two Balaturims. The Balaturim is saying that in this pasuk, Loi sevaru esh b'chol ma'ishvei zechem, don't light a candle, don't light any fire on your house b'yom ha'Shabbos. In that pasuk, at the end is Merum is Taira. HaShabbos v'yayimer equals Taira, meaning what the pasuk is saying is that you're supposed to learn Taira on Shabbos. So much so, the Torah should be so geschmack on Shabbos that you're going to want to light a fire. You're going to want so much to learn Torah that when the lights go out, you're like almost, it's almost irresistible for you to be maver, to be maverish. You want to be maverish. This is in fact why Chazal came along and made a gezeira called Shemayata. A person is, there's all types of like safeguards about if you have Shabbos candles, you're supposed to have a shomer, you have to have somebody else with you, and you have to, you know, make sure that you're not going near it. There's a lot of safeguards put in place because it was a danger that you might come to tilt the shemayata, you might tilt the lamp so that the oil will feed more into the fire, so you'll be able to learn that Rashba. So you'll be able to learn the Rambam. There's a Gemara that says that, an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says you're not allowed to light a candle on Shabbos. You're not allowed to learn alone on Shabbos. Shemayate. So Elisha, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says, one of the great Tannaim, he says, don't worry, I can handle it. I can learn alone, and I'm not gonna be mater Shabbos. So there's a machlekes in the Gemara. What happened? Either he was about to do it, and then he says, "Wow, how great are the chachamim that they said shemayata? I tried to outsmart the chachamim, but I see, you know, they were much smarter than I because I was so tempted to tilt the lamp on Shabbos to make the fire go. I was busy learning." Another mandamer says, Reb Nosson says, actually he was over. He tilted the lamp on Shabbos. And he writes in his, according to Reb Nosson, he says, he wrote in his ledger, Ani Yishmael ben Elisha, Yishmael ben Elisha, Karasi Vitisi. I read from the Gemara by the light, and I actually was, I tilted the lamp. I was over. When the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, I owe a fat chatas to bring a carbon for what I did. It's interesting, why a fat chatas? Because you owe a chatas. You brought it. You're over an Avera B'Shegeg on Shabbos. You're chayiv a chatas. Why a chatas shmeina? So Reb Nosson Adler says a beautiful pshat. The Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, he says that you owe a chatas for being over the Dairaisa B'Shegeg. But you were also over the Drabanan of Shemayate. So for the Rabbanan, you owe a fat, add a little flesh onto the, get a fatter cow, because it's not just for, you get a fatter animal, it's not just for the Dairaisa, it's also, yeah, owe a little bit extra for the Drabanan also. But what do we see from this? That it's very hard when you're learning to not light a fire, to not tilt the fire, to not turn on the light. Because Shabbos Torah is extra geschmack on Shabbos. It's so geschmack that the Chazal have to come up with all types of ordinances so that you're not adding to the fire, you're not turning on a light, you're not in any way going to violate like Sevaro Eish. But it comes to a head because of Torah. If not for Torah, it wouldn't be such a, you know, we wouldn't have to like make a special pasuk about like Sevaro Eish. The Iker problem with Havara on Shabbos, why it's more tempting than any of the other Lamedes Malachas is, because if you're learning Torah on Shabbos, be very careful about lighting a fire on Shabbos. It's a good thing and it's a bad thing. It means that you're learning. It means like you love learning. It means you have a geschmack in learning. It means that you're using Shabbos properly. But therein lies the problem. Because you might come to be so into learning that you're tempted to Shemayate. You have to therefore be very careful. The Imkanim Devarenu, if that's true, then the first Palaturim makes a lot of sense also. First Palaturim says that the reason why you have to be very careful about lighting fires is because I turn off my fire of Ganim on Shabbos. You have to resist turning on your fires on Shabbos. What's Pshat? Because like these Gedalim, and if this is true for David Karlin or Rav Shach, imagine what it was for Reb Kiveger to learn on Shabbos and to have a light go out in the middle. How about for the Rambam? How about for the Rishonim? For the Achra, for the Tanoim, for the Amiroim? How about for them? Imagine the difficulty. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, he was learning, and it's Gehenim. Not a conscious thing, but like you have to learn, you have to finish that Torah to the Rashba. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's Gehenim. I understand that. But I turned off my fires of Gehenim. And you have to resist the Gehenim that will be involved by learning Torah and then suddenly not being able to learn because the fires go out. I remember the days that I was a bacher in yeshiva. And I know that makes me sound like I'm 100 years old, but and maybe I am, but those are the greatest days of a person's life. You know, I know that you think right now that your life hasn't really begun yet, and it's going to start after you get married, after you have a family, after you get your job, after you buy your first Tesla. I know that that's maybe what you're thinking. But I'm telling you now, okay, and you heard it here first, that the years of your life right now, today, now, this second in yeshiva, are the greatest days that you'll ever have the rest of your life. Don't fadim yourself. Don't delude yourself into believing anything else. Because if you think that life really starts after you get married, after you have a family, after you buy your first house, after you buy your first, then you're gonna miss life. Life is now. And it really is the best part of life is right now. When you're a bachur, you don't have any responsibilities. You don't have to worry about paying a mortgage or paying car payments or whatever. All you're asked to do is basically sit and learn and do a little college and have a good time. What's expected of a bachur already? I remember Friday night in yeshiva, the most vivid memory that I have of my years in high school as a bachur and a little beis medrash also. It was Friday night, and we were all learning, there was a seder after the meal. And then whoever wanted to stay after the seder, you know, stayed later. A lot of times, at least maybe in my early years, I was trying to like be one of the, you know, the chashava beis medrash guys, you know, steigen Friday night, those long Friday nights in the winter. And I lived a block away from my high school. It was really an out-of-town yeshiva, but it happened to be the city that I lived in, so I was sleeping at home. And my mother, like 9 times out of 10, would like come to see where I am at a certain time, like 10 o'clock at night. She was worried that I wasn't home yet. So like a guy comes up, Bamberger, your mother's downstairs. She wants to know where you are. I was like, Ma, come on. But I remember that maybe the Friday nights that my mother didn't ask me to come home. So all the lights in the Beis Medrash, maybe it was 12 o'clock at night, they all went out at one point. It was pitch black. But there was the menorah, like with those little jumping bulbs, if you know what I'm talking about, that was by the Amud. And that was the only light in the whole Beis Medrash. The whole Beis Medrash is dark, and there was like just that menorah with those flickering bulbs. And we all went like moths to a fire, literally. And we were like all standing there with our gemaras like this, like trying to chat more and more and more Torah on a Friday night. That's like the most vivid memory that I have of being a bachur in yeshiva. The most beautiful time of life. Friday night, you have a whole night to learn. Like, you know, what are you running back after the meal to the, you know, to your dorm where you need to sleep a bagel? Like, chaperein, it's beautiful. It's Shabbos. You're in yeshiva or your home, wherever it is, and you have the opportunity. You have a whole Friday night. You learn. There are balabatim that they say in Europe that they used to work so hard during the week. You know, it wasn't like today, you know, you have a car, you have a phone, you're working from home, you know, you're big, you know, people complain, I'm working so hard. What are you doing all day? You're on your internet, you're buying and selling a stock like online, like while you're smoking a cigarette and eating a Frankfurter, like what's the big deal? Like in the olden days they actually did physical labor. Like there were people that were selling clothing out of a push cart. And there were people that were mamish like balagolas, like wagon drivers in the mud, in the snow, in the sleet. People worked very hard back then. Friday night, these balabatim that worked so hard, they were longing to learn the whole week. They couldn't. They had to make a parnasa for their family. And what they did was they would eat the meal quickly or whatever, a nice amount of time. They'd sing zmiras. They would bench. They would go to sleep because they were exhausted from the week. And they woke up maybe 3-4 hours later, and now it was 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, and they would learn throughout the whole night. The Beis Medrash would be packed in certain cities in Europe because this is what they wanted to do. They wanted to just learn. And for them, learning was their life. And if they weren't able to learn, if the lights went out, it was Gehenna for them. But that's right. That's the way it should be. You should be so into learning that when you're not able to learn, it's Gehenim. And that all is part of the mitzvah of Leisavaru Esh. I know that it's hard for you, says the Rabbeinu Shlomo. I know it's going to be Gehenim for you when the light goes out. But that's the mitzvah of Shabbos. Shabbos is Torah, to learn, to steig. It's a day that you're empty, that you're free from all your other worldly responsibilities. Chaparayim, make it a beautiful day of learning. Leisavarish, be careful. Because if you really consider Torah to be your life, and when the lights go out, it's Gehenim, and if you know what that feels like, then Ashrecha. But you have to be very careful. You shouldn't get near that fire, because it might be very, very tempting for you to tip it when nobody's looking, because you need to see the teretz. But hold yourself back. I shut off my Gehenim for you. Now I expect you to be very careful, even though you might be going through Gehenim by lack of learning Torah. Do it. Because that's what the right thing is. That's what I want from you on Shabbos. The learning of Torah on Shabbos is very special. You know, every word of Torah is a mitzvah. The Gra writes this in his in one of his Perushim, I think at the beginning of Maseches Peah, if I'm not mistaken. He writes that, how do you quantify the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Is it an amud? Is it a blot? Is it a taisis? Is it a sugya? When do you get the check of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? It says the Gra, every word of Torah that you learn is a mitzvah of Ne'atzma. It's amazing. You make a cheshbon, how many words of Torah we're speaking out, you know, this hour of the Shmuz or whatever it is. You know, I probably spoke already, you know, if you'd have like the Microsoft Word, you could see how many words there are or whatever. You probably spoke thousands of words already, right? Every word is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, not stam a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that's the Talmud Torah k'neged kulam. Every word that we're speaking right now and you're listening, Shemei Kaina, you also get this char for this. 613 mitzvahs per word. So if I spoke 1,000 words, that's 613,000 mitzvahs. If you understand what that means we all just became Elon Musk, literally in Shemayim. Just from learning an hour. But the Chavetz Chaim used to say a really scary part. That when you learn Torah on Shabbos, since the mitzvah of Shabbos is also keneged kulam, Shabbos is shakal to all the mitzvahs of Torah, Chazal tell us. So every word on Shabbos is 613 times 613. I don't know what the math is. Maybe it's 360,000. Maybe, is that right? Whatever. Any mathematicians here? Whatever. Or anyone with a calculator? You know, I once saw, somebody sent me a joke once that, you know, we always asked, like, when we were kids, like, what do we need to know, you know, what do we need to know arithmetic, you know, multiplication, and all this, you know, what do we need it for? You can use a calculator. So the teacher used to tell us, you know, you're not always going to have a calculator on you. Boy, was she wrong. You know, everybody has a calculator in their smartphone today. So, anyway, but 630, how much is it?
375,000.
375,000 words for what? For every word of Torah that you learn on Shabbos. Is that crazy? You learn for an hour? I don't know, do the math. 375,000 times, whatever. I mean, it's crazy. It doesn't make sense. Billions of mitzvahs you can chop on Shabbos. Of the greatest, the turbocharged mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And you're going to sleep on Shabbos? You're playing a board game on Shabbos? You're reading Sports Illustrated. Is that a normal thing to do? If this, according to what we're saying? You know, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman was the great pioneer of Torah in America. There's, I think, the first great Gadol biography, if you happen to be into them, was put out when I was in high school. It's actually my Rebbe's mother-in-law wrote it. It was called All for the Boss. And it was a daughter's recollection of her father, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman, a fantastic book. Highly recommend. I think we have it in the library. So So Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman was a person that was Maisa Nefesh for Torah. He started a lot of things in America that we all live by because of. Like, you know, he was very stark against shuls having mixed dancing. When I was a kid, there was still mixed dancing. Today, it's very rare for any Orthodox shul, even if it's modern Orthodox, to have mixed dancing. But then it was a thing. He was mamish, he made hafganot, he was like very fire against mixed dancing, against anything that he saw as a breach in authentic Torah. He used to take a like walk on Coney Island by the boardwalk on Coney Island by the beach, and with a placard on him, this is a man with a long white beard, and it would say, young, you know, Jewish boys and girls, it is forbidden to go mixed swimming, or dress modestly, or whatever it was, and they thought he was a nut. They thought he was crazy, and they threw him out of shuls. They threw him off the beach. But he was Meiser Nefesh for Torah, and he had tremendous talmidim. He was very close. He was a great Machnes Eirach. Baruch Ber stayed by him. Many Gedalim stayed by him. He had Ruach HaKodesh. You read the book, you'll be amazed. So he has, I don't know so many Vertlach that he said. I don't know so much Torah about it. I know stories about it. I don't know Torah. But I saw in a Sefer that quotes a Shtickle Torah from him, that one of the most gorgeous Pshatim that I ever saw. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, which is very, very negeah to what we're saying about today. It says, Haragel b'ner havin le'banim tamid chachamim. If you're accustomed to having candles burning in your house, then you'll be zeichet to having children who are Tamid Chachamim. And Rashi says, it's talking about Neir Shabbos and Neir Hanukkah. I once, by the way, asked a Rebbe of mine, Reb Mordechai Krauser, Chetzadik Levracha, who was Rosh Yeshiva and Aruch Chaim, a tremendous lamdan. I asked him, what's the pshat in the Gemara? Ragel b'ner having Labanim Tamid Chachamim. Why does it say, if you're ruggling with lighting candles, you'll be a Talmud Chacham? Well, I worry about my kids. Let my kids worry about themselves. I want to be a Talmud Chacham. So he smiles and he says, for you to be a Talmud Chacham, there's no skulus. The only way to be a Talmud Chacham is you sit and learn. You take out a Sefer, you take out a Gemara, you take a Chumash, you sit and learn, that's how you'll be a Talmud Chacham. Skulus, for your children, you know, you'll get a skulata that they should somehow, you know, have an interest in learning. But if you want to be a Talmud Chacham, you can light all the candles, you know, have a seance all day, you know, light candles all you want, you know, it's not going to work. That maybe works for your children, but not for you. But I want to tell you a bar from Yaakov Yosef Herman, how there is a direct correlation. He says, what does it mean, haragel b'ner? How does that work? Just by, you know, by osmosis, I light candles and poof, my shawl becomes Rav Shach. Like, how does that happen? So he says like this. Picture the scene. The father is sitting on a Friday night, and there's a fire there. There's the candles, there's the Shabbos lamp, whatever it is. And he's sitting there, let's say, with a chavrusa, or by himself, and you know, his wife is on the couch being a shomer for him, whatever. And he's sitting hunched over his Gemara, and it's 9 o'clock at night, and it's 10 o'clock at night, and he's singing, and he's into it, and he's taking out a Rambam, and a Ritva, and a Rashbana, and he's mamish in Eilam Amos. He's mamish like chapping Shabbos like he should. And now his little boy, 6-year-old boy, wakes up in the middle of the night and he's thirsty. So what does he do? He gets up, he goes downstairs, you know, to the kitchen to get a glass of water. And as he's walking down the stairs, he looks to his left, he sees the dining room, and he sees his father sitting hunched over that Gemara with all the svarim on the table, and he's steiging and he's into it with amelos, with yagia, with a bren. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and he's still learning, my father. Haragel b'ner, if that's your Shabbos, if that's the way Shabbos looks in your home, if you're learning and you're steiging laraner, that there's a concern of Shemayate. You have no choice. That child has no choice but to want to be a Talmud Chacham. He has no choice but to want to be a Talmud. How else? What else should I do? I see my father giving his life for Torah. He's working hard the whole week, but Friday night he's becoming a Kailul Yungalite. He becomes an Avrich. He becomes full of Torah, full of Kedusha. A child sees his father learning, not telling him to learn, not scolding him, not screaming at him.
But he sees his father himself sitting hunched over Laranel. Haravil Binair, you have that type of fire, and you're learning by the fire. Sefer Yaakov's Harman, Havinle Bonim coming to come. That's a surefire part of the problem, guarantee of having Bonim coming to come. Your sons will want to be a Talmud Chacham. I promise you. If they see their father with a, you know, with a wedge of cheese on their head going to a football game, they'll want to be a fan of the Packers. If they see their father, you know, with the Yankees, with a pinstripe Yankee, they're going to want to be a Yankee fan. But if they see their father learning Laranel on a Friday night, a Ruggle Binair, having the bottom of the pump, it's inevitable. You have to. There's no choice. That's the only way you're going to produce children in a natural way that are going to come. The Derech HaTeva. I want to share with you something that I heard this week that completely blew me away. I have a close friend who's my dentist. He's a Talmud, he's my dentist. It's an interesting relationship, but very close. And he's a wonderful person. He's a Ben Tyra, he learns, and he's a great dentist. And anyway, so I had my 6 month appointment one day this week. And so I go into his office, and that's sort of a one-way conversation when you have your whole mouth, like, you know, full of, you know, spritzes and stuff like that. But I was saying to him about how a local Rav, how I enjoy his farm. You know, he writes, he told me to just put out another statement. I said, I love his farm. I use them. They're great. He says, yeah, I love them too. And then he tells me that when his son, who was the Talmud also, he learned, he's actually a wonderful guy. When he was a young boy, so they had a minute that on Friday night, listen to this, it blew me away. I asked permission to repeat it. On Friday night, they would learn together from the Rav's Sefer. They davened this Rav Shul. They learned together on his Chumash Sfarim. Every Shabbos, the father, the dentist, taught his son one piece in that, in the Rav Sefer. They learned it well together, and they, you know, talked about it, and they answered the kasha on the parrots and the beauty of it. And the minute was they would learn a piece Friday night, and Shabbos morning, after davening, this young boy would go over to the Rav and tell him over the piece that he wrote. I was so nishtaimim from that story. I don't know why. I just think it's such a beautiful Shabbos story. That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is showing your child Kavod HaTorah. Showing your child Kavod HaTorah by the way you speak about the Rabbanim, by the way you convey their Torah, by the way you yourself are learning and sharing the Torah at the table. That's what Shabbos is. One Tuesday night, I had a chance to convey to my children what Torah is, what Kedusha, what Kavod HaTorah is. You don't have that chance. Tuesday night, you're wolfing down your supper, and then you're running off to your night seder, or running off to, you know, to work, or whatever else you're doing. Your kids are doing homework. Everything is helter-skelter. There's no chaos. Shabbos is the one day you're going to feed your child Torah. By the table, you're going to stay over there. But this is incredible. It's extraordinary. To be able to learn your Rav's Torah with your child on a Friday night, and then the next morning to be able to give the Rav hana that somebody actually cares about his Torah. Somebody's actually learning that Torah with his son. Haragel b'ner, having lebanim from your coming. Whatever you do with your child on Shabbos, you're learning or you're showing by example. Shabbos is the day that Torah gets baked into the child's conscience. There's no choice but to be a Talmud Chacham. You have to, what are you going to do? Going to not be a Talmud Chacham? That's chinuch. Chinuch means to show children by example of what it is to learn Torah on Shabbos. And how if I don't have Torah, it's Gehenim. Lulei sayrasa sha'ashuai ozavati v'anyi. If not for Torah, I'd be impoverished. I'd be nothing. That the house that I have, the car that I have, the clothing that I have, is nothing if I don't have Torah. And it's true that I'm going and I'm earning a parnassah the whole week, but don't think that that defines me. Look at me on Shabbos. Look at my face on Shabbos. Learn with me on Shabbos. See what I put my main dovish on Shabbos. And that's what you should learn from me. Haragel ben Ner, see how I am around the fire. See how I am around Shabbos. That's the way to instill in yourself and in your children and in your wife and in your family. And so, Rabbeinu Shalom, what is mainly important to you? The Torah is mine. And maybe throughout the week, I don't have the luxury of learning it as much as I would like, but come Shabbos and I'm proving to you who I am. And all of this is Rumas in this one single pasuk. When you're bachrim, I'm telling you, you will not regret it. I am not steering you wrong. Do not run after the guys that are running out into the dorms or whatever, trying to hop a bagel. You know, that means to sleep around the clock 12 hours, and they think it's like a big, you know, wow, you slept a bagel. Who cares? What are you, an 8-year-old guy in a nursing home? Like, what are you being styled out, sleeping a bagel? Is that something to be mishtayim over? Tell me that you learned a bagel. That's chashuv. And yes, you should sleep. And yes, you should enjoy Shabbos. And you should sing Zmiras, of course. But when you have free time on Shabbos, use it wisely. Use it wisely. Make it so gishmak, the learning that you're doing, that if the lights ever turn out, no, I don't want the lights. I need them on. What's going on over here? Who turned the lights off? That's how Gishmak Torah should be for you. Like Rav David Karliner said, like Rav Shach said, that on Shabbos, it's Gehenna for me not to be. I need the Torah. All of that is found in this pasuk. Chaparayim, don't waste a single Shabbos. Not when the Shabbosim are short, not when the Shabbosim are long. Just do whatever you can and learn and learn and learn. Your main learning is on Shabbos. Your main learning is on Shabbos. You shtag on Shabbos, you chazer on Shabbos, whatever it is you're doing on Shabbos. But the kedusha of Shabbos, sort of like, it just makes it absorbed into your bloodstream, the Torah. And it's in your bloodstream, and it's going to carry over genetically to your children, to your grandchildren. If whatever they see you doing on Shabbos, that's what they're going to want to do on Shabbos. By Sivaro Eish, the Chomesh, by Sefer, the name of Shabbos. Wonderful shot today.